Well, hello, it's season 5, and we are super excited that you are here as we dig into one of my favorite subjects. This season, we will be chatting with some amazingly smart and influential people in and around the arts and entertainment industry about something I like to call the inner critic. Who is this mean voice that constantly tries to stop us? And how do we confront it and kick it out of our way? From therapists to deliverance ministers to fashion icons and entrepreneurial geniuses, we are going to talk about that inner voice that wants to stop our creative passions and hinder our ability to shift culture. Head on over to my website, lindseymorgan.co, and use the promo code LOVE for 50% off the Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass. And now, let's get to that conversation with this week's incredible guests about their journey with the inner critic. The voice of comparison. The inner critic has different voices, and they come to, unfortunately, torment us in different ways. So today, we are going to talk about the voice of comparison. That is one of the voices of the inner critic. And I want to tell you a couple different stories about how the Father God, taught me how to overcome comparison in my life. And, you know, often comparison will lead to jealousy, right? We don't often get jealous if we're not comparing ourselves to someone else, comparing our lives to someone else. I mean, jealousy sneaks up when we look at someone else's life and then compare it to our life. And we're like, we either value their situation, their life, their beauty, their family, their success, whatever it is, we value their success, we value their life more than our own. Well, we wouldn't get there unless we compared their success, their beauty, their family to our own. And that's where comparison can lead to jealousy. So if we can nip comparison in the bud, jealousy will just float away, right? Like if we clip off if we clip comparison off at the root, then jealousy will just fall off and we don't have to go after all of these little things. We can go after the root and then the rest of it will kind of dissipate, if you will. And so a couple ways, just to jump right in, I want to give you some real tips that are going to help you. First tip is compassion for yourself, compassion for where you're at in life and why you struggle or deal with the inner critic's voice of comparison. We all struggle with different voices of the inner critic, and there's different reasons why, and it doesn't always matter why, to be honest. Now, some people will tell you different. Some people will say, let's go back and think about that issue that happened, and that's why you... And I understand why they do that. There is some very valid reasons for that. And one of the reasons is the Father is so compassionate that he says to us, and he said this to me actually, if someone would have lived the last 43 years that you've lived and been through the experiences you've been through in life, they would also struggle with this. Because what I used to do, I don't know about you guys, is I used to beat myself up, right? We know that the inner critic is not just the enemy. It's also us being mean to ourselves, okay? So, and that can come from ouchies in our heart, like I've talked about, ouchies in our mind, which I've talked about. But we often help the enemy, right? Like the enemy is the enemy. He's the father of lies. The Bible's very clear. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How does he come to kill, steal, and destroy? Well, if he's the father of lies, which is what the Bible says, the only way that he can kill, steal, and destroy is through lying to us, right? He lies to us. He makes us think things, and then we act on things, we behave on things, we believe, you know, things. And sometimes we, if we are still hurting inside, we can help him, unfortunately. You know, we can help him. And so for me, you know, I was dealing with comparison, which was leading to jealousy in a lot of areas for years. I mean, years. Like, this is not like a new thing that popped up like 3 years ago. This has been like decades of my life. And so I'm trying so hard to do all the very spiritual things to like stop doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even tell you all the things I was trying, but it wasn't working. And I was mad at myself. I was so mad at myself. Why can't you get over this, Lindsay? That wasn't the enemy talking to me. That was me talking to me. You know, I can't believe you still struggle with this, Lindsay. Like, you need to get over it, Lindsay. Like, that's what I was saying to myself, not consciously, right? It was kind of an internal dialogue I was having with myself that wasn't even all the way conscious until the Lord showed me what was happening. And he said to me, Lindsay, if someone had lived the life that you have lived, they would struggle with the same thing you struggle with. And he was teaching me to have compassion for myself. Now, look, I know that I've struggled also with self-pity, right? And we don't want to get stuck in the pit of self-pity because that will not help us. But sometimes we overcorrect. Sometimes we're chilling in the pit of self-pity. And then we're like, oh, I gotta like correct, you know, I have to correct my behavior. You know, we get a little intense with ourselves. At least I did. And then we like overcorrect, right? Into like, I am not gonna have self-pity ever. And then we think that compassion is like self-pity, but it's not. Jesus was very compassionate, very merciful, very graceful. And because we want to be like Jesus, we want to be very compassionate, very merciful towards ourselves. Because I'll tell you one thing, if we aren't, we are not going to have the capacity or the ability to sustain being compassionate or merciful towards other people. Now, you might for a season, okay? You might for a season be able to have compassion, have mercy for everyone else except yourself, which was me. And I was so compassionate and merciful towards everyone else except myself. And it worked. It worked for like 10 years until it didn't work anymore. And I think that was actually the mercy of God being like, okay, Lens, and now do unto yourself as you do unto others, you know? And so, you know, he just so kindly said to me, Lindsay, if anyone had been through what you've been through, they would struggle with this same thing. Like, you don't have to be so hard on yourself. And I mean, I remember right where I was driving down the street in Santa Monica, and I just like, I don't know that I bursted out in tears. That might be slightly overdramatic, but like, I definitely like felt this like, I don't know, almost this tangible compassion and mercy come over myself. And I felt compassion for myself. And I thought, wow, that's so kind of God, you know? And at the same time, he was allowing some of the similar ouchies that I've had in the past kind of come up again with current circumstances. And I am telling you, that hurts like a, you know what I mean? Like words you shouldn't say. And I didn't like it. Of course I didn't like it. But you know what the Father said to me? He said, Lindsay, he said, this is only going to help you in your marriage. When we can get past this, like this is coming up, but when we can get past this, it's only going to help you in your future marriage. And I loved that. You know, I love that. And that was always honestly a big fear of mine, to be real vulnerable. You know, that was always a really big fear of mine. And possibly one reason I'm not married at 44 is because I was afraid that my husband would find all these other women much prettier than me and he would go that way. And you know, that narrative in my head stuck around for a really long time. And I've told you guys this before, but, you know, the inner critic would often tell me, which I think this one was the enemy, you know, you're not pretty enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not pretty enough. I mean, for like 10 years, like, I mean, just like a, you know, just like on repeat, you know, I mean, it was so weird now that I think back. But at the time, it was just normal. It was very natural. It was just it was like a thought pattern, basically. And I hate to use these like trendy words, if I'm honest, because sometimes you're like, what does that even mean, you know? But it was so ingrained in my mind that I really just thought it was true. I didn't question it as it being something that actually wasn't true. You know, I just took it as true. I never questioned it. I never questioned it. We should always question. We should always question what we're thinking. And, I mean, not like constantly, you'd probably go crazy, but we should often question what we're thinking. And, you know, until this moment, and I can't remember the exact moment, but until the moment when I all of a sudden questioned the thought, pretty enough for what? Pretty enough for who? Like, it was this general like thought that didn't have any kind of like basis to it. It wasn't saying you're not pretty enough to marry Tom Cruise. Sorry, I don't know why I'm using Tom Cruise. Like, I just like old school, like, you know, he was like the guy that we all liked if you're my age. Anyway, I'm not saying I like Tom Cruise, for goodness sakes, but I'm just saying, like, it wasn't even a thought that had any merit. It wasn't even a thought that had any, like, root to it. Like, it didn't say, you're not pretty enough to do this. You're not pretty enough to marry so-and-so. It didn't say that. It just kept saying, you're not pretty enough. And I let it say that to me. I let it just live in my mind for a long time. Until I finally questioned it. Pretty enough for what? Pretty enough for who? And honestly, that's what shut it up. Isn't that interesting? I know, so interesting. So question your thoughts is the number two. So number one is have compassion for yourself. Not self-pity, but compassion. They're very, very different. Look them up in the dictionary and you'll see how different they are. Number two, question those thoughts. Question that mean voice in your head, okay? Number three. This is my favorite. We need to battle comparison, which leads to jealousy. We need to battle it by every time it tries to come, you tell yourself five things that you love about yourself. I'm telling you, the enemy hates you. Sorry to be so intense. It's just true. The enemy hates you. So you loving you, I'm telling you, he does not want that. Because when you start to walk down that road of learning to like see yourself and accept yourself and like yourself and then actually really love yourself, you're going to become completely unstoppable for the Lord. And the enemy doesn't want that. Why do you think the enemy fights so hard against like self-love in the kingdom or like biblical self-love? He wants us all, myself included, to think it's selfish. How could you ever love yourself? That is selfish. The Bible says that you are to love others more than yourself. And, you know, all these things. He loves to twist scripture. But, you know, you guys know my mantra. You know what my book's called, right? Letting love in. We cannot give away what we cannot receive. And, you know, I say it over and over again. It's my mantra. It's my whole, like, it's my whole thing. It's my whole thing. You can't love others if you don't love yourself. And you can't love yourself or others if you don't understand how to receive God's love. it just won't work. It'll work for a little bit, and then you'll hit a few brick walls and you realize it's not working. So anytime comparison comes up and decides that it wants to talk to you about how so-and-so is this and so-and-so's family is that and you don't have this and you don't have that, we don't have to be critical and be like, we don't have to be critical towards ourselves. Actually, that's exactly what the enemy wants. What we need to do is stop it. Just like, it's easy to say stop the thought, but if you can just pause and force yourself to say five things you love about yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you, when God first told me to do this, it was painful. I was like, how long do I have to do this for, God? Like, I was mad at God. Like, isn't that a little strange? A little strange. I was like, this is so hard. This is so painful. Like, I can't do it. And I think it kind of broke his heart, to be honest, because he's like, really? Like, Lindsay, do you really think that I make crap, you know? And like, it breaks his heart. Like, he made us. Like, we're his masterpiece, and we can't say five things we love about ourselves. Like, I'm sorry, but that's not humility. That's not humility. Like, it's actually, it's so the enemy. And so I just want to leave you with those three tips on this podcast Tuesday. We'll be back with more guests. I have some amazing people coming up. But I'm going to pop in every so often and talk about a different voice of the inner critic. And I'm going to talk about how to overcome that specific voice. Now, you guys know that I talk a lot about the inner critic and how to just kind of shut that inner critic down in a major way. Do we ever get 100% free of it? I don't think so. I think that we get better and better and better and better and better. It gets less and less and less and less and less, but it will try to come sometimes in a different way, or, you know, so my course, which is called Crushing the Inner Critic, which is like 5 sessions, 20 minutes each. I think it's on sale still, 50% off, $71, on sale with the promo code LOVE, will give you a surefire way of shutting that voice down every time it comes. And I used to be honest with you, I used to feel really stupid trying to like sell you guys this course, but there's been some amazing breakthrough for people. Like, really everyone who buys it tells me they have breakthrough. So it's like, I have to get over myself, right? Like, this isn't about me. This is about you learning how to, well, get out of your own way. And trust me, I have to learn it myself. And so I still use this tool that I teach. I use it every single day of my life. And it has brought me so far through so much crap, I can't even tell you. And I'm a fan. And I feel like I'm being disobedient if I don't tell you guys about it. So anyway, I have that course. And then I have another course called Receiving the Father's Love. So if you're like, why does she always talk about the Father, you know? Some people connect closer to Jesus. Some people connect closer to Holy Spirit. Some people connect closer to the Father. I first connected with the Father. He was the one who really poured his love into my life and really healed a lot of my ouchies. A lot. So many you don't even know. And then he introduced me to Jesus in a very beautiful way. And then he promised me that Jesus would introduce me more to the Holy Spirit, which I love the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wouldn't say I know the person of the Holy Spirit as much, but the Father is, I always joke, is my favorite, which obviously they're all one, so no one's really my favorite. But the Father's love is just incredible and very distinct and very healing. It's very, very healing. And when I say healing, I mean emotionally, mentally, probably more heart and head. Healing is what I'm talking about more than like your body. You know, I mean, that's Jesus died on the cross to heal our bodies and our minds and our hearts as well. But the Father's love really helped me walk out the healing in my mind and my heart. And so learning to receive His love is a key. It is a key that I really will probably talk about for the rest of my life because it is like nothing I've ever experienced. And really learning how to receive His love, not just that, not just more rhetoric on He loves you, because like we all know that in our head, right? But like, how do we literally receive it, right? There's something about this receiving. And so in my course, Receiving the Father's Love, I talk about that. I talk about how to receive the Father's love. And I've also put that one on sale because really, I just want everyone to buy it. And I just am excited because I love it. And I know that people need it. They need it. They need the Father's love. They need to understand who the Father is, how much He adores Him, how proud of Him, how proud of them He is, and how practical He is, and how with us He is, and how funny He is. And I think there's a block in a lot of us that we can't really get close to the Father for some reason. And it's really no big deal. Like, I don't mean to like make light of it, but we don't have to like be stressed about it, right? It's actually, I have a very simple way of teaching you how to not only receive from the Father, but you can't receive from someone that you're not connected to, right? So I go at it from, let's connect to the Father. Let's connect to the Father in a way that's very practical and just simple. It's so simple, I can't even tell you how simple it is. It's like crazy simple. It's almost ridiculously simple, but it's profound. And once you connect with the Father and you start hearing His heart for you directly, you will begin to receive His love and it will heal things in you. And it's like, I guarantee it. I guarantee. It's insane how it works. And I just love it. So anyway, the link is always in the show notes. And I hope that the three ways to overcome the inner critical voice of comparison is helpful to you. And if you want to learn how to kind of on the daily overcome the inner critic, I recommend the Crushing the Inner Critic Masterclass, which is 50% off with the promo code LOVE. And if you want to understand how to receive the Father's love in a very practical, simple way on the daily, I recommend Receiving the Father's Love mini course, which is also 50% off, makes it around, I think, $45. And that promo code is LOVE also, because it is all about love. It's not about you striving to love others. It's about you learning to receive the love of God. So, and then once we receive it, we can easily give it away and keep some for ourselves. So that is what we're talking about. That is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about different voices of the inner critic when I come on just to teach like this. And I'm going to be interviewing more amazing people. Amazing. They're so amazing. I'm so excited. People when it comes to their journey with the inner critic. So would love to hear from you guys. My email, lindsay@lindsaysnyder.com. Pretty simple. Instagram, @LindsayMorganSnyder. Facebook, same thing. Come chat with me. I'm a words of affirmation person. Like, that's my love language. So when people come and tell me how things have impacted them or affected them, like, it's almost like you just gave me like a bazillion dollars. Like, it makes my heart like big and puffy and like float away into the cosmos. So anyway, I welcome your testimonies or your questions. If you're like, Lens, like, you know, what about this? What about that? Like, I love it. Like, I love me some questions. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, you don't have to agree. You can totally come to me with like, well, what about this? What about that? And I don't agree. And I'm happy to talk it through with you and, yeah, give you any insight I can. So I bless you guys. I'm going to pray for you and for myself, because let's be honest, we all need our papa. So Father God, I thank you for being such a kind dad. I thank you, Jesus, for being way more compassionate and merciful than we could ever imagine. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're so interesting and just amazing. Like, you're just so, I almost said magical, but I don't want to be weird. But, you know, or I don't want to seem weird, I should say. But you're just so, does magical have to belong to the other side? I mean, things are magical. God is magical. Not in the magic, the weird magic, but in the just in the way that he operates. He's so beautiful and powerful. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for how much you just add to the Trinity and to our experience of God. It's really so powerful and beautiful. And I hope to know you more in the future, Holy Spirit. But I thank you. I thank you for who you are to us. I thank you that you do walk hand in hand with us, that you walk with us moment by moment, step by step. And we have a Father, we have a best friend, Jesus, a Lord, a King, Jesus. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who is just so unique and special. And we're just grateful that, like Graham Cook says, it's three plus me, that we have a community just within you. And that's like so cool. So Lord, I just pray for all those that are feeling lonely tonight. Father, I pray that they would feel the three plus me with them, that they'd feel the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They'd feel that there's a community right there with them. And I pray that you would speak to them. You would tell them what to do next. You would tell them how to overcome whatever it is that's hurting. That you would help them to kick comparison in the butt. Am I allowed to say that in a prayer? I don't know. But I pray that you would help us have compassion for ourselves. Not self-pity, but compassion. Compassion, God. I pray that you would help us to say what we love about ourselves, even when it seems like we're pushing out a child. Like, it's so hard sometimes to find that love for ourselves, which I know really does break your heart. And I just thank you for the ways that you help us all. And I pray that this message would help many, God, many, 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 many people, Lord. And I just thank you that you've got such good things for all of us, and yet you sit in our pain and our grief with us. And you're not scared of any of it. You love joy, and you bottle our tears. You're not scared of us, God. You're not scared of our emotions. You're not scared of our feelings. You're not scared of our hardship. You're not scared of our desperation. You're not scared of our loneliness. You're not scared of anything, God. You know us better than we know ourselves. You live inside of us. Thank you for helping us get to know ourselves, God. Thank you for helping us connect back to ourselves, God. Thank you for helping us connect back to you, God. We know that connecting with you will only connect us back to ourselves, God. So I thank you. I thank you for the tools that you've given me to share with the world. And I pray that those that are supposed to take advantage, Lord, and those you have other ways, then they would go that way, God. But we thank you that you died for our freedom, and that we're all learning to walk in it every day. Thank you that we are already free. We are already free, God. But we're always renewing our mind, and we're always like binding up some ouchies in our heart. So thank you that you're our healer. You are our healer. And we thank you for the tools on earth to help us with things. We bless you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Well, well, well. Wasn't that interesting? We can't wait until next week. Don't forget to grab Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass at lindseymorgan.co and use the promo code LOVE to get 50% off. This was recorded at New Vine Music in Santa Monica, California. We would like to thank Leonardo Antinori for producing this track. To learn more about them or to license original music for your next project, go to newvinemusic.com.